And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick, joins me now in Studio A with her weekly theater review. Judy, it's good to see you.
Good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about the show that's at the Everyman Theater, finishing up their season. It's a British farce. It's called Noises Off. In funny plays, farce and slapstick humor and slamming doors and big casts and stuff, it looks all very energetic and fun. And sometimes folks might even think it's easy. But in my many, many years in the entertainment industry, I can tell you comedy, to me at least, is much harder to do than sort of straight, serious stuff. Comedy's hard. How's it go in this show?
Oh, absolutely. Comedy's hard and farce is even harder. I mean, it's very tricky stuff to do. It has to work like a well-oiled machine. When you interviewed Deborah Hazlett and Vincent M. Lanchese, Everyman's artistic director and the director of this show, when you interviewed them about the show, you talked about the importance of timing. And timing is crucial in a farce. And that timing in this show is very, very fast. So a lot can go wrong. And that's really what Noises Off is about. It's about what happens on stage and backstage when things go just terribly, horribly wrong. And that is even harder
to
do.
Yeah, and that's part of the plot.
Yes,
right,
that's
right,
the plot. Right. And it's even harder to do than a standard farce. Noises Off is written by British playwright Michael Frayn. And it's about a second-rate, maybe a third-rate British theater company that's about to tour the provinces. The structure of the show is one of the most interesting, clever things about it. The first act is the dress rehearsal. It's going on into the wee hours. The second act, the show is on tour, and we see it from backstage. And by now, the company has all kinds of personal tiffs and entanglements and romantic triangles. The director drops in unannounced. The drama backstage is funnier than what's going on stage. And then in the third act, we're at the final stop, the final performance of the tour, and now the thing is in full Murphy's Law territory. Everything that can go wrong does go wrong, and then some. I should tell you, the title Noises Off is actually a theater term. It is terminology for offstage sounds that are supposed to be heard by the audience. But the play within the play and Noises Off, or maybe I should say the farce within the farce, is overflowing with sounds that are not supposed to be heard by the audience. I brought a clip from the second act when the character of the director, played by Carl Schurr, shows up unexpectedly backstage. Pandemonium has broken out, and he just throws in the towel.
I think this show is beyond the help of a director. We just go out there and do it, huh? I'll sit out front with my bag of toffees in the dark and enjoy it. 1 minute was the last call. If your memories go back that far.
Oh, no, wait.
If your memories go back 1 minute. Carl Schurr in Everyman Theater's production of Noises Off. Of course, Everyman distinguished in theater companies around here in that it has a resident ensemble, a resident company of actors, and they make up basically the entire cast with just one or two exceptions. How well does that work? They are a real ensemble. How do they do playing a fake one?
It works very well. And yes, there are 9 actors in the cast, and all but one of them are members of this resident company. And to put it another way, two-thirds of Everyman's resident company is in this show. So they have worked together before and they have a certain rapport, and I think that probably gives them a shorthand in terms of rehearsing and performing. There's another reason besides the structure that Noises Off is more complicated than a typical farce. Most of the cast members are portraying actors who are then portraying characters in the play within the play. For example, Deborah Hazlett portrays an actress named Dottie Ottley. In the play within the play, Dottie Ottley portrays a housekeeper in a country home. You with me here?
Barely.
And Hazlett makes this Dottie character appropriately Dottie. She's very forgetful. She's very easily frazzled and flustered. I have to give a shout out to Carl Schurr, whom we just heard. He plays the haughty director of the play within the play. And this is a director who has absolutely lost control. But he never drops his superior attitude. He even refers to himself as God, as in, quote...
That sounds like a director.
Oh, yeah. He says, and God saw that it was terrible. So he knows things aren't going well. Danny Gavigan, another company member, plays an actor who is always at a loss for words. And he does this really impressive pratfall in the third act that got a big hand from the audience. So I brought you Danny Gavigan as an inarticulate actor trying to talk to Carl Schurr as the director. I mean, Gavigan's character is a guy who can barely complete a sentence, much less a thought. And no one, perhaps not even him, knows what his character is trying to say. But the director has such a high opinion of himself, he takes all of this bumbling as a compliment.
Lloyd, let me just say one thing since we've stopped. I work with a lot of directors, Lloyd. Some of them were bastards, some of them were geniuses, but I've never met one who was so totally and absolutely... I don't know.
Thank you, Gary, I'm very touched.
Thank you. I'm very touched. Very touched indeed. That was Danny Gavigan and Carl Schurr. We talked about a little bit about slamming doors, which are sort of part and parcel of any farce and comedy. Lots of, doors slam in most farces. But how would you describe the set? They got a lot of doors in this
They
one?
Have a lot of doors. They have a lot of doorways. It's a requisite element, as you say. The set is designed by an everyman resident set designer, resident set designer, Daniel Ettinger, and it is a real tour de force. It's a two-story set that revolves, so you not only have lots of doors and doorways, but you also have them seen from two different perspectives, and things have to break. Things have to not work on cue, which, again, is very difficult to set up. The scenery changes between the acts. You see the first act from the front of the stage, you see the second act backstage, and then it changes back to the front. The scenery changes got applause from the audience. So I would advise I'd advise anyone who's going to see this show, there are two intermissions, stay for at least one of them, because that's a show in itself. And I also have to give, forgive the pun, but farces have a lot of puns, I have to give props to the prop master, Jillian Matthews. I mean, there are so many really important props in this show. There are plates of sardines. There are airline flight bags. There are bed sheets. There's an axe. There are liquor bottles, bouquets of flowers, a telephone. And these are all really significant in working out this farce. Near the end, one of the characters quotes the director saying, "That's what it's all about, doors and sardines." And then the whole cast repeats this. And it's really, that's an accurate summary of the show and how important the sets and props are.
Yeah, and behind that, of course, is a really long Excel spreadsheet to get that figured out sure that the prop is in the right place for the actor to grab and that it's, there when it needs to be. So, as you say, Noises Off is all about the Murphy's Law of farces. everything could go wrong, does go wrong. How does every man do? Are they right at getting everything wrong?
Well, I can't say, Tom, what actually may have been going on backstage the night I saw it, but it did move like clockwork. And the company, especially Danny Gavigan, probably should get hazardous duty pay for what they have to go through physically. Also, another cute element is that the program includes a separate program for the play within the play. So you have a program within a program, I guess you could say. And this program within the program has a very funny takeoff on a scholarly essay. It talks about mythic themes and religious and spiritual implications in bedroom farces. I have to say, that kind of highfalutin silliness aside, Noises Off really conveys a love of theater and an admiration for people who do theater. But there isn't much substance beyond that. You find yourself actually cheering for things to go wrong in the play within a play so that you can see how they deal with it. I guess the show also says something about perseverance. The show must go on. It's a show that takes an enormous effort to put on, Noises Off, and I don't want to be a spoil sport, but it would be nice to see this much effort applied to a show that's about more than the effort it takes to produce it.
We have literally 10 seconds left. This is the last show of this season for Every Man. What strikes you as fun to look forward to for next season?
Well, it's an all-American season. The season that's just ending had about half of it had a British flavor. Four of the six playwrights coming up are women, and the season includes my favorite play by Lynn Nottage, Intimate Apparel, and it includes one of the great American classics, Eugene O'Neill's Long Day's Journey Into Night.
Terrific. Well, we have lots to look forward to next year, and next week here on Midday, we're going to talk about what?
We're going to be talking about the world premiere adaptation of Toni Morrison's Jazz at Baltimore Center Stage.
That'll be fun. Noises Off is at the Everyman Theater in Baltimore until Sunday night, June 18th, and we've got a link to details about showtimes and all that stuff on our website, wipr.org/midday. Thanks, Judy. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Tom.
Lunch for our midday guests on Thursday is provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. We are grateful to them for that. They are a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each day, all listed on their website, Eddie's of Roland Park. Com. That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, it's the Midday News Wrap, where we will recap the news of the week with Tamara Keith from NPR, and we'll talk to Delegate Luke Klippinger about the fact of the fate of the paid sick leave bill that the Assembly passed and the governor vetoed. That's all coming up tomorrow on the Midday News Wrap. Hope you can join us then. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your calls and emails. Stay tuned for Here and Now, which is on the way right after a break for news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.